And welcome to What's Up Noopa Radio Edition here on a Wednesday. And Wednesdays mean here on What's Up Noopa Radio Edition that Frank Prosnitz will not go home. I promise him lunch after program on Wednesdays. So no matter what I have scheduled, Frank just moves over one chair and hangs out with me for an extra hour or so.
He tries to block the door, but I don't let that get in my way.
Imagine the things we can get done everywhere if we just promise people lunch. Yeah, they would just stick around. They would get lots of things done.
There goes that bipartisan stuff.
There it is. So you just had an interesting show. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, we had former Supreme Court Justice Bob Flanders, who is the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. He's facing Sheldon Whitehouse, the incumbent. And we wanted to take a look at the State of the Union address last night to get his take on that. And then tomorrow at 12:30, we'll have Bob Wagon, former Congressman Wagon, who was former Lieutenant Governor as well. And he will give us the Democratic, or at least his perspective, which I presume would be the Democratic perspective of that speech. So I thought Bob was good. He answered the questions, didn't avoid any, as Scott Pruitt did in the Congress today. But that's another story. But it was good. It's good to get his perspective, and all valid.
Excellent. You can catch that podcast in a short while on WADK.com as well as on whatsupnoop.com. Of course, where you can catch all of our shows, they are podcasts on those websites. And we take a lot of them and put them on What's Up Noop and cross-promote them as well. And we have a busy couple days lined up here for you. Today, we're going to be joined in just a few minutes by Jody Giddings, who is the founder of Newport Wild. I think I have that correct. Or is it Wild Newport?
Wild Newport.
It's Wild Newport. I wrote it backwards on my sheet of paper. I'm starting off really good. Then later on in the program, we'll have Terry Corcoran, who is Portsmouth School Committee Chair, who announced earlier this week that she'll be running for Rhode Island House District 72, which is Portsmouth and Middletown. She'll join us at about 1:45. Do want to give everybody a quick little update, because we have certainly been talking about the Armory quite a bit here in Newport, and I wrote this morning. There's been lots of talk about it over the last couple of days. There was actually a petition that got started by Friends of the Waterfront, which now has more than 750 signatures, and that's caught the attention as well as all the feedback, your emails, phone calls. And Newport City Council has decided to cancel their executive session that was scheduled for tomorrow night to discuss the future of the Armory. We don't know what that means quite yet, whether the deal's off the table or what will happen, but we'll keep an eye on it and let you know.
How about if they make the executive session a public session?
And that would be really helpful, because right now there are city councilors commenting on stories. Oh, well, that's not true. This isn't for sale. That's not going to happen. This isn't going to happen. And, you know, somebody should just comment, well, if there was a public session, then we'd know what would happen, what is a part of the sale and what's not. So they could help themselves by having a public session.
So interestingly, I ran that scenario past a councilman in Westerly whose council has been going through some of the same stuff. And he, for the life of him, he couldn't figure out why these sessions weren't public.
And many people can't, and we'll find out. Just days of our lives here in Newport.
Hey, that's great. Can we do? Maybe we can create a soap opera with that name.
We might be able to, or at least a show. It could have followed the open forum of What's Up Newport Radio Edition. Clark Howard might not be happy, but we can do that. Speaking of Newport being wild and wild being in Newport, Jody Giddings joins us today, and there was just an announcement last, I'm going to go with Friday. It was January 26th. And Wild Newport, a 501c3 nonprofit, announced that they're here on the island. And it's a rescue, rehabilitation, and release of wildlife on Aquidneck Island. It's the first one of its kind.
I thought it was a review of the bars.
It is not. I've said that many times. I've said I'm surprised that name was available and somebody else didn't already grab Wild Newport.
Well, you know what? When we first went for our website, it was going to other things, so we had to. It was connecting to other websites that weren't what we were looking for.
I believe it.
Put some blocks on that, but.
So, Jody Giddings, you are the founder of Wild Newport. Tell us about Wild Newport.
First of all, thank you very much for having me here today.
You're welcome very much.
Wild Newport is a wildlife rehabilitation center. Basically, I'm working out of my house right now, but we plan on expanding and putting together a wildlife rehabilitation building. And we focus on wildlife that is native to Aquidneck Island.
Okay. And we're not talking about – it's funny that you're here today because tomorrow I have Brad Shear, the executive director of the Potter League. So mm-hmm. I'm on an animal kick for the next 24 hours.
Well, today you have Dr. Doolittle, apparently.
We're going to be chatting all about wild animals today, domestic animals tomorrow. Why did you decide to do this?
I started volunteering about a year and a half ago at the Wildlife Clinic, which is in North Kingstown, and then got certified to be a wildlife rehabilitator. And I realized that the only clinic that was in the state is the one that's in North Kingstown. And they have a number of wildlife rehabilitators that are centered everywhere, but they kind of cater to a lot of the areas that are off-island. So I figured Aquidneck Island needed its own.
Talk about your background with wildlife rehabilitation.
My background originally is with children. I owned a preschool in Newport for a long time.
That's pretty wild.
That is wildlife.
So different type of wildlife, but all good. Grew up riding horses, different pets, different animals, things like that. But really my interest, once I started volunteering at the clinic in North Kingstown, was really when I started to focus on what I wanted to do.
Talk to us about the need for this kind of service here on Aquidneck Island.
Well, the clinic in North Kingstown does over 4,000 animals a year.
And what kind of animals?
Everything from baby fox to raccoons to opossums to owls and hawks, pretty much anything. There's a couple of things that we aren't allowed to rehab, coyotes and some of the rabies species.
Raccoons.
Yes.
How do the animals get there?
There's two ways. Usually there's a phone call that starts the conversation, and then either we will go pick up the animal or the animal will be brought to us. And one of the things that Wild Newport really is going to specialize in is the rescue, because I find a lot of times people just don't know where to do. They're afraid to grab the animal. They're afraid to bring it. They just don't know what to do. So I find it somewhat easier to actually go to the location, see if the animal really needs to be rescued, because often it's just exhibiting normal behavior.
What's interesting is I just remember this story. I, like you, Frank, I forget everything as soon as I do it.
And then forget it again.
Which really impresses the people that love me in my life. But one day I was walking down by the pier restaurant here in Newport, and there was a seagull. And he was just going in circles in this little area down by the yachts. And I noticed he wasn't flying, and Dog and I were walking by. He wasn't going anywhere and just kept walking around. So I called Newport Police Department. And they gave me this number, this lady's number. And they said, call her. She'll come and pick it up. She'll take care of it. She shows up in a station wagon and walks out with towels, throws a towel on it, grabs it, puts it in her car, and takes it to whatever rescue that it needed to go to. So even things like birds.
Plenty of birds. In fact, we were at Newport Yachting Center yesterday getting a sea scoter, black scoter, that normally should be out to sea. But there are lots of seagulls that we get calls about, and then some people don't even bother to call because they're...
Do they also do this at Roger Williams Park Zoo?
No, they do not. Tufts has in Boston has a rehabilitation center, and then Mystic Aquarium does sea mammals.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about perhaps what are some of the things you had to go through, the processes, because I'm sure not everybody could just start a rehab and start collecting animals, picking up animals. So maybe we'll touch base on that and some more of your experience, as well as I'm sure Frank will have an interesting question or two.
I'm working on it.
We can't pick up politicians, Frank. When we come back here on What's Up Newport Radio Edition 115, 27 degrees in the city by the sea.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard. Sponsored by the Rhode Island Army National Guard. Aired by the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. Growing up in Oklahoma, I had big dreams of becoming a successful country music singer. But I also knew the odds were against me and that I needed an education to fall back on. Studying never got in the way of my dreams. In fact, school gave me lots of opportunities I wouldn't have had otherwise with my career. Please stay in school and try your best. You never know where a good education might take you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Looking to grow your business or expand your network? If so, the Southern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce is the place for you. We are a member-based organization whose purpose is to grow businesses within our community. Located in Wakefield, Rhode Island, we offer a range of services such as continuing education, networking opportunities, state and local advocacy, referrals, and so much more. Membership is only $260 annually, and we offer flexible payment plans that can fit any budget. To learn more, visit our website at srichamber.com. We look forward to working with you.
The death of a family member or close friend is one of the most difficult times in anyone's life. O'Neill Hayes Funeral Home, founded in 1889, has been family-owned and operated for five generations. Serving families with dignity and respect for over 125 years, they've become a benchmark for service and compassion in the funeral industry. For more information on pre-planning or resources to help deal with grief, visit them online at o'neillhayes.com or call 846-0932. O'Neill Hayes Funeral Home.
And welcome back to What's Up, Newport Radio Edition. Ryan Belmore here. Frank Prosnitz is here just because I can't get rid of him. That's right. I need to call a radio host rehabilitation.
No, I mean, you probably call that place in North Kingstown. They might take me away.
They might. And Jody Gavings joins us. She is the president, founder of Wild Newport. She is a level 2 rehabilitator licensed with Rhode Island DEM, and she was a previous owner of Sea Rangers Nursery School in Newport, is now focusing on helping area wildlife. And so it's not like you were just had this idea one day at your house and decided to do it. You've been studying this and working in this field for a little while now.
Yes, 2 years. And basically the process is you need to do volunteer at the local clinic, and then there's a course that you have to take that is run through URI. And it's usually, it was at the time only run once a year for the entire country, and it was through Rhode Island DEM. So after taking that course, which is a 3-day weekend course, you're a level 1 rehabilitator, and then you need to complete your training with a mentor for a year with the species that you want to work with. And I chose a wide variety so that we could kind of work with every animal.
Are there steps above that, or does it just go to level 2?
Level 2, and then after your third year, your second year of being a level 2, there's a RVS specialty. So as of right now, I'm not allowed to work with any of the rabies species, which are raccoons, things like that. We're not allowed to work with until our third year. I do have rabies shots, but I'm not allowed to.
So until now, there's never been an organization that has focused solely on wildlife rehab in Newport, Middletown, and Portsmouth. Why do you think it took till now? Just people were bringing them over the bridges in North Kingstown? Or?
Yes. The executive director, Kristen Fletcher, lives in Portsmouth. So she pretty much was a one-woman show and was doing the entire thing, a lot of it by herself. So she was bringing everything over to the clinic. And what I found was we had people that were in Providence. We had rehabilitators that were in Westerly, but we didn't really have anybody that was on Aquidneck Island. So
what is the most common call that, obviously you just got started here, but what is the most common call you expect, or what is the most common call that North Kingstown gets?
Really depends on the season. Right now we're getting, and the weather too, we've had a number of calls about stranded seabirds, birds that might be normally 2 to 3 miles out at sea all of a sudden show up in the harbor or at someone's house because they've been blown off course. In about 2 months, we'll start getting all the babies. So it gets really crazy with baby squirrels, baby bunnies. That is probably the most calls.
And what do you do with those?
Well, it depends. We try to talk to the person and find out whether or not they can be left alone, because 9 times out of 10, they don't need to be rescued. For example, a dog might dig up a bunny nest, and the mom will come back, but she only does so once or twice a day, so you won't see her come back. But what people will do is they'll see that the bunny's outside on the ground, and they'll wrap them all up and bring them to us. And once they've been physically removed,
so what do you do? What do you do with the? How do you rehabilitate these animals?
It depends. With the babies, we basically just feed them. You know, it's basically with a syringe and a little nipple on the end.
Yep.
We have two veterinarians that we work with Dr. Chan and Dr. Bird, which are both, I know, ironically.
Dr. Bird?
Did you see that restraint on my part?
That's why I'm laughing. I did. And they do all the
pretty
x-rays.
Flighty. Oh.
They do the x-rays and all of the, if we need further assessment.
That's not his real name.
Her, Meredith.
Her name. It's not
it
a real
is?
Name.
Wow.
And she's awesome. She knows she's really talented. But.
And then what is the percentage of animals that you rescue in rehab that will be released back into the wild?
Good
or if you
question.
Don't know the percentage.
I would say,
just...
I'm going to say probably, oh, I'm high, I'll say 75%.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there are animals that we, either I pick up or that people have gotten that will never be able to be returned to the wild. So
what do you do with them?
Usually they're euthanized. Occasionally we'll get an animal, an owl or something that may have lost an eye, but seems like he can function and isn't very skittish or somewhat relaxed. And they... can be used as an educational animal. If there's another facility or school in the country that's licensed for educational animals, they may have sent out an email or gone to a board and said, we're looking for an owl or a... The Norman Bird Sanctuary has a number of them. I don't know if any of them are actually from us. But and then, unfortunately, the ones that have a severe break in a wing or cannot be released, we do have to euthanize. As per state law.
Is there a bigger organization that you all belong to?
No.
No. So you're
kind of
all independent.
It's a little bit like the Wild West, to be honest. Each state is different. They're run by DEM, but it really just depends state to state. And in some states, there's really no governing body, and then Rhode Island is one is somewhat strict. It really just depends. But no, there's no federal real program or funding.
So the animals that you encounter, animals that people find, there must be multiples of that are out.
Right.
And not found.
Right. Or people just will drive by and see a seagull and say, you know, we're not going to call. But we try. We do as many as we can.
What's your expectation on how many you'll be able to reach in this
area? I don't
know.
I'm a little nervous. I have to be honest. Well, thanks to the What's Up Newport, I've gotten a ton of calls already. From
how many bedrooms in your home?
I have one, but we're
that's kind of
it's
personal.
Large. Yeah,
I was thinking about Dr. Doolittle,
and you know, pretty much seabird would be the only thing you're dealing with from the marine world. Otherwise, you would call Mystic
yes.
Aquarium.
Yeah, Mystic Aquarium, and there are some people on the island that are. Able to help with stranded marine mammals. They've taken the course at Mystic Aquarium, which I'll be doing in the fall. But normally they come pretty quickly because that's their specialty.
What's the most unusual animal you've had to deal with besides Ryan?
Ryan's pretty good. So you haven't worried about him. Just kidding.
Lucky you, Ryan.
We've had snowy owls, a lot of opossums, which – people normally are kind of afraid of.
I was just reading a Facebook photo that had a bunch of things about them, and opossums are very important to our the animal kingdom. They keep
the
scavenger. I'm trying to remember everything that was on it, but they eat all the ticks and they eat all the bugs,
right?
And they eat on small rodents. They really are like the pest control of the animal kingdom. I can't believe I remember that.
I'm very impressed.
Pretty good.
Yes, but opossums, you should never be scared of them. Most likely they are scared of you.
True,
and
wow.
You should just,
you're an expert.
Yeah, see that? I saw
hire them.
I saw one little Facebook meme online and read it, and you should just let it go. And one of the things that happens most common to them is they get their heads stuck in your recycled cans.
We have not had that yet.
No.
We did have a raccoon that got stuck in a drainage grate.
Okay.
But, yeah, we have a lot of opossums that come in, and they look fearsome. I mean, they open their mouth, but they're usually very, very tame.
They come in on their own, or they normally?
Yeah, they walk in with their babies on the back.
Well, that's what it sounded like.
Right.
I guess so. Of course, how about deer?
We do young deer. We can't do full-size deer. DEM basically will just come and, unfortunately...
do you know what the deer is? Seriously, the deer population on the island is? I know in Rhode Island it's pretty substantial.
It is substantial. So we will do fawns if they come in. We have someone, Dr. Chan, who is one of our vet specialist. She will take the fawn. She has a special setup because they can bond with humans, so you have to keep them in kind of a secluded area. We do get a lot of calls for fawns that aren't orphaned. The mom maybe just will leave them for part of the day and go a good distance to walk around, and so someone will see them in their yard and then call us. And really, if they just wait until nightfall, the fawn will be fine, usually.
What happens if that situation happens? Is that, can you easily put that fawn back out in the
eventually,
wild?
Yes. Yep. Dr. Chan has great success with that.
And you would release them right back here on Aquinic Island, most of these animals, or would you take them somewhere else in the state?
No, they, by law, they have to be released right, pretty much right where they were found, so usually within a mile or so. We have a lot of families or finders that, when they find the wildlife, will want them released at their house or want to be there. The shorebirds we do at the beach, and hopefully once we get a little more organized and up and running, we'll be doing some announcements so that if people want to see us release a hawk or a seabird or something, they can come see it.
So despite what you said, Frank, they're not bringing them all to Central Falls and releasing them.
I'm not going there.
Hey, I lived in Central Falls. As a child, I lived in Central Falls. I'm very proud of Central Falls, so I can say that.
All right.
What kind of advice do you have for anybody that comes across an animal, perhaps bunnies or whatever it may be? I often hear that humans shouldn't touch them because of the scent and things like that.
That's actually not true. Bunnies and scents, the bunnies do not have a high sense of scent.
Are there any animals that, you know, if you come across them, you shouldn't touch them because then their parents aren't going to accept them anymore?
Not really, especially when they're babies. The parents usually have the ability to see through that and not worry about it. They'd rather save their child or baby than they would just relieve it because it has a scent on it. Bunnies probably are our biggest problem as far as people, quote-unquote, kidnapping them when they really don't need to be saved, again, because a dog will grab it or, you know, another reason. But there's kind of some simple ways to tell whether or not the nest has been abandoned. So if someone calls, we usually encourage them to try that first before grabbing them.
Do you see yourself, unfortunately, getting into pest control in people's homes?
No, I don't. I can give advice on that if people call, but that's not what we offer.
And that would be what? Squirrels, mice, rats?
Right. And raccoons. We've had calls about raccoons in attics. Basically, they don't like music. So if you turn a radio on and leave it in the house or...
Just put Frank's show on.
I don't sing.
You play that jazz, though.
Oh, I do play that jazz.
Yes. You're right.
I don't know if they like jazz. They might. But usually that... And if you have towels with ammonia or something on them, they usually will... believe. We've had raccoons in people's chimneys, and if you take a minute to put the radio in overnight, they will get their babies and they will vacate.
I had a raccoon in my garage once, and there was this some kind of a liquid that you could put in front of your garage to keep the animals out, and I thought he was out. I put the liquid in front. He wouldn't leave.
Oh, no. Wrong way to do it. All right, we're going to continue our conversation here with Jody Giddings from Wild Newport. When we come back, wildnewport.org is the website. We'll get more information, how people can get involved, support, what you should do if you come across a wild animal, and more of Frank's nonsense when we come back here on What's Up Newport Radio Edition.
Thinking about a kitchen remodel? Hate the drab colors, old cabinets, Formica countertops? You know what I mean. My husband and I wanted to move closer to the radio stations, so we purchased a place on the island. The kitchen was what they call builder grade. No frills, no extras, but the space was relatively small, and I couldn't see how in the world we'd be able to change the layout to make the space work better, as well as upgrade the finishes. That was until I visited the design center at Humphreys Building Supply in Tiverton. We worked with the two on-site professionals, Dennis and Janine, and before long, we were finishing each other's sentences. Okay, kidding about that, but Dennis came to the house and began to make design miracles out of the little box that was our kitchen. The space is unbelievably different. He found a way to add gorgeous wine bar, more storage space, and a peninsula with enough space to prep and eat. The finishes are beautiful. The colors are perfect. We love our new kitchen. Thanks to the team at Humphreys Design Center. Go to buildwiththeh.com to make your remodeling dream a reality.
Humphreys, the home behind.
It may not feel like it, it may not look like it, but it does look like spring at Ben's Furniture. Stop by soon and see countless new items that have sprouted up at 166 Thames. New sofas in bright and colorful fabrics. New slip-covered sofas in nautical and cottage prints. New bedroom sets. New dinette sets in sizes sure to fit any space. Ben's has new chairs and recliners, new desks, even brand new mattress collections starting at just $399 for a queen-size set. Discover new accessories like rugs, pillows, wine racks, and wall prints. About the only thing not new is the longtime Ben's tradition of quality, service, and value. Ben's Furniture, now into their 76th year of serving the Newport County area. Ben's, 166 Thames Street, downtown Newport. Open Monday through Wednesday from 9 to 5. Thursday through Saturday, 9 to 6. Sundays, noon to 5. Browse online anytime at bensfern.com.
Happy New Year. Is one of your goals to find a cleaning service for your home or office? I have the perfect solution, Steph Spotless Cleaning. I recently started working with Steph and her crew at both the radio station offices and in my new Portsmouth home. The staff here have been raving about how clean everything is and how personable Steph and her team are. So I decided to give them a try at my house. The results were spectacular. Steph uses an all-natural cleaning product line, and the smell in the house is incredibly fresh and clean. I think this experience for me has been pretty close to the old days of having a cleaning lady, someone who treats my home like it was their own, someone I can trust. I've been through the experience of hiring a service and seeing new faces every time cleaning day came around. Not so with Steph's. She shows up at every job, rolls up her sleeves, and makes the magic. And she's fully bonded and insured. Find Steph Spotless Cleaning on Facebook or contact her today for a free consultation and 20% off your first cleaning at 932-6050. That's 932-6050, Steph's Spotless Cleaning.
And let me tell you about our friends at the Newport Skating Center, of course, Mix 99.3 WADK, as well as What's Up Newport, proud media sponsors of the Newport Skating Center. Today is Wednesday, and they are open from 5 to 9 p.m. this evening with free skating admission courtesy of Scarpetta Restaurant. Where is Scarpetta Restaurant? It's right out there at Gurney's Newport. They are still offering free parking in the lot just across from their entrance. This year, you will take a ticket when you enter the lot, get it validated when you purchase your skating passes, and when you leave a lot, there will be no charge. Newport Skating Center, free admission tonight. Of course, there is rentals and more, hot chocolate. There's a food truck and much more down there. So stop by. See Newport Skating Center less than a month ago. They close up on the 26th of February. NewportSkatingCenter.com for schedule, rates, discounts, special offers, and more. We are being joined today by Jody Giddings, and we're talking all about wildlife rehab, and it is Wild Newport. It's a 501c3 nonprofit, kind of brand new as in January 26th, last week, wildnewport.org. And I was thinking, what advice do you have for people that come across any kind of wild animals out there? What should they do or not do?
Well, the best thing to do is sometimes to leave them alone or observe. If you do think the animal's injured, you can take a minute and kind of look to see what you think might be wrong and if it's just not a normal behavior. You can call our hotline. We have a wildlife hotline, and I will answer the phone. And if you tell me a little bit more about the situation, I can usually give advice or come to help. Also, taking a picture. Sometimes, if you think something might be injured or exhibiting strange behavior, the picture you can just send to that same number, 401-287-7775, and then we get a better picture of what exactly might be wrong.
You actually do get a picture of what might
literally
be wrong. What kind of facility does it take to do this out there in Middletown?
Well, right now I've got a large room, and we have an apartment that's downstairs, so we've got pretty much all sorts of different size caging. We're in the process of building a mews outside for raptors and owls, which is just a large cage. That's really in the process right now, is getting the outdoor caging set up. We do have probably 20 cages or so right now for inside rehabilitation. And as the weather gets warmer and some of the animals start to rehab, we will be bringing them outside.
How many animals do you have on a regular basis?
Right now we have three, but once baby season, we could have anywhere from 40 and up, because we do get a lot of the small bunnies, squirrels, things like that.
And that brings us to an important point of you don't want people just visiting. It's not a petting zoo. No. So that's why I have not given out your address, is you don't want people just saying, oh, let's go see what kind of animals they have right now.
Right.
Of course, you will give the address if you need somebody to drop something off or whatever it may be. But this is obviously is a big undertaking. So, you know, how can people support what you're doing?
Right now, we are about to start a fundraiser. It's on our website, wildnewport.org. One of the things that we're trying to purchase before this spring season really kicks in is an incubator for some of the baby animals, and then we're raising money towards our outdoor cages.
What does an incubator cost?
About $2,000.
So if somebody out there wants to really support you, they could give you a check for $2,000.
We would love it, and we would go right to keeping those babies warm. And then outdoor caging, we will be doing a volunteer drive probably closer to the summer. So we will be alerting everyone that we will be accepting volunteers that can help with the wildlife.
So do you ever get to a point where you take a look at some of the animals that you have and maybe a bunny or something that you would put up for adoption to some family?
We're not allowed to legally. Unfortunately, that's not part of what we do.
Would you turn it around to the Potter League or Roger Williams
No.
Zoo?
No, we're not allowed to. The zoo, occasionally. We had an opossum that was at the clinic over the winter that was orphaned, and it was injured, so it couldn't be released into the wild, but had just a very friendly personality towards humans. So she was brought to the Roger Williams Zoo. But no, the Potter League, in fact, anything that's brought to the Potter League, they will call me to come get.
And these are also wild animals. These aren't domestic
right.
rabbits.
No, and they usually are not very friendly once they turn into adults.
So you said North Kingstown and your place
right.
are the only two in Rhode Island.
There's also Birds of Prey, which is...
I've heard of this place down in Narragansett.
They're right by
area.
Narragansett, and they're strictly raptors, so they do hawks and owls. And they do have some of the very large flight cages. She is a master falconry. Or falconer, I don't know. Sorry,
that would be a great interview. I know somebody that does that, where it's just unbelievable what these birds will do.
And the training that's involved. I mean, it's so much. So she even takes if we get orphaned owls or things, she can train them.
Well, that's
very labor intensive.
Let me try that. That's a hoot.
Yeah.
Jesus. That is Frank Prosnitz. The views, opinions, and jokes on this program are not necessarily those in mine. So very interesting. That's right. People should know that there is a difference between the domestic as well as wild. And if you do find a rabbit, that is not the same kind of rabbit that you're going to get from the Potter League, where that animal is domestic. Big difference between the two.
Right, and they can be very, I mean, rabbits and even squirrels that are in the wild, they can be very flighty. They can even be very aggressive, especially not the babies, but the adults. So it's usually best to let somebody, if you do find an injured rabbit or some of the larger animals, it's probably just to leave it be and call us.
So we've got Washington County covered. We've
yep.
got Aquidneck Island covered. But it doesn't sound like we have the northwestern part of the state, which is pretty rural.
That's where a lot of the animals do come from. We do have some rehabilitators that are there that just function on their own. And usually they're very specialized. So, you know, we have a woman in Jamestown who just does bunnies, and she's phenomenal. She has incredible success. We have some people in Coventry that specialize in, say, squirrels or other animals. So that's all that they will take. And that's usually how the rehabilitation goes. It's one specific species.
Areas of Burrville and Gloucester?
Same thing.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. And one of the things I should point out is if, you know, you don't want to be called, and I'm sure you can pass it on to somebody if they want to, but you don't want to be called for roadkill.
No. If it's definitely dead. I mean, sometimes if it's an opossum, it could be playing dead because they do that. And sometimes even an injured hawk or something on the side of the road may not have passed away yet. So, we're not at that stage where we need the roadkill to feed the animals yet.
So when you get an animal that is injured,
yes,
they're obviously frightened. Are there safeguards that you have to do to protect yourself?
It really depends on what type of animal or bird that it is. Again, opossums, some of the opossums and things like that are relatively gentle. We still do wear gloves. We wear like the big welding gloves usually. Again, it depends on what type of animal it is. The seabirds are very waterproof, so we have to be careful of not hurting their waterproof. If it's something large like an egret, they do go for the eyes. So you have to make sure that you have sunglasses on, or they do. Some people wear an actual shield, but it really just depends.
And how hard is it to make sure that these animals don't start to rely on you and can still be released out in the wild without relying on a system?
We try to do it as quickly as possible. So once we get the animal, we do an assessment. If it needs veterinary care, x-rays, things like that, we'll bring it over to the clinic in North Kingstown. And then we try to do the turnaround time as quickly as possible. Some of the larger animals or raptors, sometimes if they've lost feathers, might take a little bit longer, but we do try and do a quick turnaround, again, depending on weather.
The different times of year, different kinds of animals?
Yes, all different. And again, as I said, really weather dependent. We haven't had that hard of a winter, but a few years back when we had the
Don't ask National
winds,
Grid.
I should knock on wood.
National Grid is looking for a rate hike because of the hard winter.
Is there anything that Rhode Islanders should feel proud about with our wildlife?
We've got some amazing wildlife, especially some of the shorebirds and things, and the number of hawks. I mean, anyone that lives on Aquidneck Island, I'm sure on almost a daily basis, is seeing red-tailed hawks. We get the snowy owl that comes through. They've been here for a while. They may have moved on. I haven't been to Southwest Wildlife, but we really have some incredible
eagles
wildlife.
In Rhode Island now, I think?
I don't know. We have not gotten any at the clinic, but I don't know. I'm sure they're coming, I would assume.
I thought I had read or heard that there are eagles.
There's some photographers that will post photos almost every certain time of the year.
Right.
They seem to fly through. So it's pretty interesting.
Where are they going?
Wherever they may be heading. Speaking of, do we have any wildlife that you cross through Rhode Island to get somewhere else?
Mostly birds.
Yeah.
A lot of the birds that are migratory.
So well. Never mind.
What's he saying? Newport especially.
When the tolls go up, are they going to try to avoid Rhode Island?
Oh, jeez. Always brings it back. So it is Wild Newport, and it is a 501c3 nonprofit, wildnewport.org. And do we miss anything today there, Jody?
No, I think we're good. Again, thank you very much.
You got it. And if,
great work that you're doing. Absolutely great work.
If you find injured wildlife, you can call the Wild Newport Wildlife Hotline at 401-287-7775. Again, this is wild animals, not domestic. So if you see a cat or a dog or if you see a domestic bird or whatever it may be,
right.
I'm sure there's a fine line of
right.
people calling you about these issues.
We can't help with some geese and things if there is a
okay.
domestic goose.
But. WildNewport.org. You can sign up for their email list as well as donate there and a lot of other good things. WildNewport.org. Jody, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks again. Have a great day.
We'll be back here in just a few minutes. What's up, Newport Radio Edition?
For those who heat their home or business with oil and who want the best price, guaranteed, it's New England Energy Corporation, owned by Travers Plumbing and Heating, serving all of Aquidneck Island. New England Energy Corporation applies the highest standards in quality service. They specialize in boiler replacements, oil tank replacements, burner cleaning, new heating systems, and 24/7 emergency service. Locally owned and operated by Gary Travers. Call today for their burner boiler specials. New England Energy Corporation. Great service. Lowest priced oil. And no minimums on oil deliveries. Call today. 683-0370. That's 683-0370. New England Energy Corporation. Owned by Travers Plumbing and Heating.
Enjoy outdoor skating by the sea at the Newport Skating Center in the heart of downtown Newport on America's Cup Avenue. Open daily, the Newport Skating Center offers skate rentals, free parking, skate lessons, private party rentals, special events, and concessions from Gotta Q Smokehouse and BBQ Food Truck. Happy skating in Newport's Winter Wonderland. For all the details, visit NewportSkatingCenter.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Urbach, Executive Director of the North Kingstown Chamber of Commerce. We are a membership-based nonprofit organization that supports businesses to ensure they are equipped with the tools, networking, and promotional opportunities that are necessary to be successful. We provide workshops, events, and networking opportunities on a monthly basis where you will learn from seasoned subject matter experts and network with highly engaged groups of professionals. Why should you join the North Kingstown Chamber of Commerce? Because we do it all, whether by land, air, sea, or rail. We have the transportation infrastructure culture in North Kingstown needed to support our varied and unique businesses in growing our local economy. Did you know that NK Chamber membership also includes access to free notary service, free job postings on our website, free townwide gift certificate program participation, and free social media postings? Stop by the Chamber at 8045 Post Road in North Kingstown to learn more about how we can help you and your business succeed and grow, or call us at 401-295-5566. Online at northkingstown.com.
Corrigan Financial realizes the need for financial planning services has never been greater, due in part to essential concerns such as longer life expectancies, spending demands, and income tax and estate planning. Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan and that all financial decisions should be made within the context of that planning framework. Currently, Corrigan Financial works with over 950 families, manages over $600 million of investment assets, and prepares income tax returns for nearly all their clients. Corrigan Financial's knowledgeable staff includes 11 CPAs, many with advanced degrees and financial planning specific designations. These people, along with considerable investments in systems and technology, have helped keep Corrigan Financial at the forefront of the wealth management profession. Corrigan Financial, for more than 25 years, helping their clients get from where they are to where they want to be.
And welcome back. Final segment here on What's Up New for Radio Edition. And Frank Prosnitz is here, as well as myself, Ryan Belmore. And it is the time of the year. Of course, we had the State of the Union last night, and politics are on everybody's mind, especially this time of the year. And just 2 days ago, there was an announcement that came out of the District 72, which is Portsmouth Middletown, and Terry Cortvrand, who is the Portsmouth School Committee Chair, announced that she would be running for the seat. She's a Democrat, and she joins us on the line now. And good afternoon, Terry.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Tell us a little bit. You are the chair of the Portsmouth School Committee, and you announced that you'd be running as a Democrat in the 2018 election to represent Rhode Island District 72. Hopefully everybody knows where those lines are, but it is parts of Middletown and parts of Portsmouth. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're choosing to run for this seat.
Well, I've served on the school committee, I think I'm in my ninth year. I've been elected three times. I've also served on our Portsmouth and Water and Fire District, which is an administrative team that represents the ratepayers of Portsmouth that are on the water system. And I've been involved in other committees in town, so I have a lot of varied experience.
And I think we have a pretty bad connection. She's still there?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm still here. Could I call back on the landline? I'm on my cell phone.
Please do, and we'll be joined by Terry here in a minute.
Yep.
All right, and we'll try this again here. We just had a little bit of a bad connection, which happens too often here on Aquidneck Island. And Terry, are you there? Terry Cortvrand, she is the chair of the Portsmouth School Committee. She announced about 2 days ago that she's running as a Democrat. And let's see here. She'll join us in a minute or two, but she stated in her announcements that she will bring your voice to the State House to help make our communities of Middletown and Portsmouth a better place to live, work, raise your family, and grow our businesses. She says, I am running for State Representative, District 72, because I believe that the people of Middletown and Portsmouth deserve an engaged, compassionate, authentic, hard worker who has personal stakes in getting laws passed that will help us all thrive.
And she is running against?
She's running against Kenneth Mendonca, who is a Republican for District 72. She's the founder and CEO of OceanLink, which is a marine trades business in Melville, which is in Portsmouth, Mr. Prosnitz. And Terry has been a small business owner and employer for over 25 years, according to her website. Terry has served 9 years on the Portsmouth School Committee and was first elected as its chair in 2014. And we're going to try connecting with her one more time here. And we will do that now, and let's try it now. Terry, are you there?
Yes.
All right. We're having some phone issues, which sometimes happen here on Aquidneck Island. And if you can just go back there and just tell us a little bit more about why you're running for this seat.
I want to bring a voice to the State House, and I think that the voters of Middletown in Portsmouth, which the district runs along the east side, I think they deserve to have a selection, a choice of two candidates, and I have a wide range of experience. I'm a small business owner, so I think I have a lot to bring to the table.
So, Terry, there's a growing group of progressive Democrats in the legislature. Would you put yourself in that camp or more conservative than that?
I don't want to put myself in any particular camp, so I think I'm maybe a bridge between. I support them on some issues, and then on other issues, I'm a small business owner. I might lean a little bit more to the center. And having served on the school committee too, you have to work with both parties, and it might give you, you know, we're the administrators, and that probably gives me a little bit of a different perspective as well.
Let me ask you on just one piece of legislation. Sure. I'd be curious about, and that's the one that's been introduced, is introduced every year by Edie Ajello, a representative from Providence, that would make Roe v. Wade the law in Rhode Island and really trying to protect women in the state in the event the Supreme Court would overturn that ruling. That, I think it was 1973 or something like that, that it was initially voted upon by the Supreme Court.
I am personally supportive. I think that is reproductive rights is between a woman and her doctor. So I really think it's a matter of health and privacy. So I am supportive of that bill.
Terry, is this the first time you've considered running for the House of Representatives, and why is now a good time, do you think, for you to run?
Well, yes, it's the first time. I have thought that I would like to do it at some point in time, but it was recently in the last year that I really started thinking seriously that now might be the right time, and the previous candidate that had run for this seat, Linda Finn, she was not going to run again, and she had actually approached me very right after the last election. So I've been thinking about it for a while, and it just seems like the time is right.
How much money do you think it's going to cost to run a campaign?
Ooh, I'm told, I'm a little bit new at this, but I'm told that I should expect to spend around $20,000, which is a lot of money.
Sure is. What are the biggest issues affecting District 72, Portsmouth, Middletown?
I think making sure that that the school districts are funded appropriately at the state level. Both districts have been at the losing end of the funding formula. So that is something that's a concern specifically to those two districts. I think environmental issues, smart development, protecting water supply. There's several of the ponds are located in that district. So I'm interested in stormwater and, just general environmental issues. Sea level rise, we need to be prepared for that. So all those issues are of interest to me.
Well, I'm going to throw you rapid fire three issues.
Uh-oh.
easy. there is the bond issue that's proposed at $250 million now for rehabilitating many of the school facilities. Initially, that was, I believe, the general treasurer had was looking at a $500 million bond matched by local communities, but I guess maybe that'll be phased in. Are you supportive of that?
Yes. Yes, I am. I think the buildings, while I do believe that Middletown and Portsmouth buildings are in a better condition than what we might see in the more urban areas, I think every kid deserves to be warm, safe, and dry in there, and you know, and in a building that's appropriate to learn in.
We are facing a pretty large deficit this current fiscal year of roughly $60 million. Next fiscal year, I think, is projected at about $240 million. Still on the table is the Speaker's car tax elimination program, phasing that out. Still on the table is the governor's free college tuition program. And one more I'll throw out at you and just kind of get answers. In the governor's budget proposal is a copay for individuals with Medicaid on their pharmaceuticals of anywhere, I think, from $250 to $8. How do you stand on those issues?
I don't think that the car tax at this point has been particularly helpful. You know, we haven't been affected by that because our car tax is so low. So it's going to be a while before Middletown or Portsmouth, you know, enjoys a benefit from the elimination of that tax. Medicaid, that I would want to know more about that. I'm not sure that I would be supportive of that. And I am supportive of the 2 years of education. So rapid fire, you know, as being a new candidate from the outside, that would be my response.
Excellent. Terry, why don't you tell us how people can find out more about you, maybe a website or whatever it may be, and how people can support you, get in touch.
I have a Facebook page, Terry Cortvriend, CORTVRIEND. And I have a website, which is Vote Terry, or also TerryCourtFriend.com would both bring you to the website. And there are opportunities on the website to donate or get involved, which I would certainly welcome anybody that wants to help out, because you really can't run a campaign like this on your own. So I'm definitely looking for supporters.
Excellent. Well, Terry, we wish you the very best of luck. Probably not the last time we'll talk to you before November, so stay in touch.
I hope not.
And let us know of anything that comes up over the next several months, and best of luck over there in District 72.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Absolutely.
And again, it is VoteTerry.com where you can find out more information on her and her campaign. Again, District 72, Portsmouth, Middletown, and she will face off against Kenneth Mendonca, who is a Republican. One of the very few Republicans that we have in the House right now. What do you have on your mind, Mr. Prosnitz?
Oh, nothing. It was interesting to hear some of her positions. I think they've got to go and learn. There's a lot of stuff on the table.
There's a lot of studying to do and a lot of information to consume during these races. You got to be watching what is happening at the State House, as well as what's happening down the Capitol, as well as running a campaign. It's certainly not easy, and a lot of things.
$20,000 is not a lot of money anymore for these legislative
campaigns.
Well,
we saw what just happened here with the Senate District 13 race, and of course, we'll keep the politicians coming on here and chat with them and let them voice why you should vote for them, and that's what we do here in WADK. That's going to do it for us today. We will join you again tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back then.
Listen online 24/7 at WADK.com. This is your hometown information station, 1540 WADK Newport.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first